Okay, so today's title, it's extravagance, or even extravagant worship. Let's look at the story of a woman anointing Jesus' head and feet with perfume. Matthew 26:6. While Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume and poured it on his head while he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw this, they became irritated and said, "Why this waste? Surely this perfume could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the destitute." But knowing this, Jesus asked them, "Why are you bothering the woman? She has done a beautiful thing for me. You will always have the destitute with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she was preparing me for burial. I tell you with certainty, wherever this gospel is proclaimed throughout the whole world, what she has done will also be told as a memorial to her." There's a very similar version of that story in Mark's gospel and in John's. But let's look at a slightly different telling of it in Luke. This may be a different remembering of the same event, or it might just be a similar event. I'm not sure, and there seems to be a range of opinions from Bible commentators. But you know something? This morning, it doesn't really matter. So, the version in Luke 7:36, this is a longer passage. "Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. So he went to the Pharisee's home and took his place at the table. There was a woman who was a notorious sinner in that city. When she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's home, she took an alabaster jar of perfume and knelt at his feet behind him. She was crying and began to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. Then she kissed his feet over and over again, anointing them constantly with the perfume. Now the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this and told himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner.' Jesus told him, 'Simon, I've got something to ask you.' 'Teacher,' he replied, 'ask it.' 2 men were in debt to a moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they couldn't pay it back, he generously cancelled the debt for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more?' Simon answered, 'I suppose the one who had the larger debt cancelled.' Jesus told him, 'You have answered correctly.' Then, turning to the woman, he told Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came to your house. You didn't give me water for my feet, but this woman has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the moment I came in, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with perfume. So I'm telling you that her sins, as many as they are, have been forgiven, and that's why she has shown such great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little.' Then Jesus told the woman, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And those who were at the table with them began to say amongst themselves, 'Who is this man that can even forgive sins?' But Jesus told the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" Right. So this story is in all 4 Gospels. And that makes me think it's pretty important. Indeed, when you catch that last sentence in the story in Matthew, Wherever this gospel is proclaimed throughout the world, what she has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Wow! Her act of honouring and expressing her love for Jesus should be proclaimed alongside the gospel. That makes it important. The tellings in Matthew and Mark are very similar. John's is slightly different, and Luke takes quite a different angle on the whole thing, each remembering it with different emphasis. So, if you want to do a real fascinating study, do a compare and contrast between all four tellings of it. But for today, let's just see that Jesus seems to use this event to teach us a few different lessons. He talks about our reactions when we're forgiven. He talks about how we should welcome him. He talks about how we express ourselves. And he talks about his burial. This is deep and heartfelt stuff. The big thing to take in here is the profound thanks and appreciation which this woman expressed, and how Jesus was touched and was pleased by her actions. She poured out her heart to him, and he acknowledged and appreciated it. Now, let's compare it to an Old Testament story. King David, dancing with abandon before the Lord. 2 Samuel 6:12. Later on, David was informed, "The Lord has blessed the home of Obed-Edom and everything he has since he's in possession of the Ark of God." So, David went out joyfully and brought up the Ark of God to the city of David from Obed-Edom's home. After those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed oxen and fattened animals. Dancing in front of the Lord with all his strength and wearing a linen ephod, so David and the entire assembly of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and trumpet blasts. Okay, just a little extract there. But a fascinating little story, and I've probably pronounced Obed-Edom's name wrong. But. Right, so both of these stories, the woman and David, show someone in extravagant worship. Maybe another word for extravagant here is unconstrained. So many things that we do within limits, with constraints. These actions of these people express their honour and thanks to God, and they were extravagant, they were over the top, they were without constraint. In the woman's case, she was literally letting her hair down. She was forgetting what others would think of her. And it makes me wonder whether we, at times, should worship extravagantly. Should we be willing to go over the top with our worship to God? Should we be generous in our thanks, our praise, our worship? And if so, how should we do it? Can we worship in extravagant ways? Could we leap and dance before God? Could we take something precious and use it to honour Jesus in a very special way? Are there times when we should do something extravagant, something very different, very extraordinary, to express our love to God? Of course, all of this is in response to God's extravagant love for us. God's action in sending Jesus was extravagant. It was over the top. The special way that God reached out to us and brought us home to be with him, it's extravagant. So, for our response to be controlled, constrained, buttoned up, doesn't seem quite right, does it? It's a bit like a stranger in the street hands you a bar of gold bullion worth millions. And you sort of go, oh yeah, thanks, and walk on. Doesn't seem quite right, does it? So this whole idea of extravagant worship is one that I think we should each spend some time thinking about over the next week. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all go out and buy an alabaster jar full of nard. The truth is, I don't really know what either alabaster or nard is. But is there some way that we can do something special this week to honour God? Is there a new way that you could find to worship and to say thank you to God? The intimacy and the enthusiasm shown by both the woman with the bad reputation and by King David in these stories is worth thinking about. How touching, literally, how touching was the way that she poured out her heart as she poured out that perfume? As she rubbed Jesus' feet with her hair. This is an intimate moment. And Jesus receives it in the pure and unabashed way that she's offering it. Jesus could have pushed her away. Indeed, Simon the Pharisee thought that he should have. But Jesus didn't. He accepted and he appreciated her worship. Equally, for King David, his dancing was looked down upon by the people around him. It's not dignified for a king to behave in such a way. He should be kingly, not prancing around like a football supporter. But David felt that he needed to pour out his heart, his soul, his enthusiasm, and his thanks to God for restoring the ark to his people. A big thing here is that this was something special. It was a special event for this woman to get a chance to be near Jesus. It was the most special time for her. So she reacted with something special, something so precious to her. She offered it up in response. So how do we respond to God's presence with us? What precious thing can we offer him to express ourselves in an extravagant way? In a way that's not constrained, not limited by our background, or by the people around us. In that case, the woman was physically near her Saviour. She was in the same room as the King of Kings. She had to respond in a special way. But for us, the Bible tells us that we can have that Holy Spirit, not just physically near us, but dwelling within us, day by day. After we know Jesus, after we give him our life, after we allow him to become our Lord, our boss, after we give up control of our lives to Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. This is the very presence of God, and he lives within us. His people. So can you imagine that special day for this woman when Jesus visited the house of Simon and she was able to get in and sit at his feet? Well, try to grasp the truth that for us as Christians, we can have that nearness, that presence, that close contact every minute of every day. Wow. Let that idea creep into your consciousness and stay there. That special event for that woman on that special day can be special for us every day. the presence of Jesus right with us. Every morning when we wake up, every night when we lay down our head. Every day can be made special by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is the presence of the most wonderful of people. The best friend ever, the best lover ever, the best carer ever with us every day. Isn't that something special? Something unique? Doesn't it deserve a special response? An extravagant response? Had this woman, this is just a question, had this woman been saving up that beautiful alabaster jar with the most exquisite perfume, had she been saving it up for a special event? Was she keeping it for her wedding, which probably wouldn't happen because of her reputation? Or was it for her funeral because the wedding wasn't going to happen? Well, she realized that the most special event that was ever going to happen to her was right there in Simon's house. And she rushed to celebrate, to honor that most special of guests. She wanted to do everything she could to make her celebration very meaningful for Jesus. Let's think about how we can welcome the Holy Spirit, how we can celebrate the special event of God being with us. Today, tomorrow, the next day. What do we have that will express our thanks, our celebration of God's goodness to us, our celebration of his presence with us? How can we make it special for him? The woman poured perfume over him. David danced before him. How do we celebrate? What do we have that we can offer him in celebration? Have we got something that we've been keeping for a special event? Have we got time and energy that we could pour out and dance? Have we got skills that we can use for his glory? Have we been thinking about doing something special, but we didn't have the courage? Is God encouraging us to take a small step of doing something unusual? Something over the top? These two responses, the woman with the perfume and David with his dance, were a physical expression of their emotional state. God had made them so happy that they had to express it somehow. Their hearts overflowed into action. That's where true worship takes us. Deuteronomy tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. That phrase, all your, doesn't speak of doing it with constraint. It speaks of extravagance. Both these events were public. They were in front of other people. In the woman's case, maybe only a few other people. In David's case, probably very many people. But I'd suggest that they felt private. The others were not important. The focus of the woman, the focus of David, was all about the private time between themselves and God. They were able to overcome the fact that they were being seen. Their love was too great to really care if others saw them. They weren't worried about what others thought. Doing something extravagant in public can be hard. So I'm suggesting let's start doing it in private. But don't dismiss the idea of doing it in public. Maybe that's what God's asking of you. Being personal for a moment, I don't really like speaking in public. But I'm able to do it, and I can see that speaking publicly about God is part of my worship. It's more publicly extravagant than I'd really like to be. But if it's what he wants and it's to his glory, then so be it. But I'll let you into a secret. And I've not told many people this one. Many years ago, when I was in my 20s, right, that's going back a bit, I was new to the things of the Holy Spirit. I had only just recently started speaking in tongues and so on. And I felt that I wanted to find new ways to express my worship of God. And I thought about dance in worship. You know, the sort of thing that Debbie is so blessed with. There was a Christian conference going on in Glasgow around that time, based around some sites around in the west end of Glasgow. And we were going to it, and Myra had booked herself into a session, I think it was on prayer or something. And there was a session on dance in worship. And I thought, I'll go to that. I was very hesitant, but I decided I'd go to it. So we went along to the place, and Myra went off to her session on dance, and I looked up the notice board to see where I had to go. Her session on prayer, I looked up the notice board to see where I should go for this session on worship dance. And I have to admit, I chickened out when I read it was being held in the School of Ballet. I gave up and I went for a walk in the park. Okay, I'll admit it, I was a big fearty. Maybe today I'd handle it differently. God has made me a lot bolder than I was back then. Back then, I was not willing to do such an extravagant thing like that in as public arena as the School of Dance. School of Ballet. Of course, if I had gone, it would probably all have been fine. But I chickened out. Of course, God has forgiven me for being a wimp. But it sticks in my memory. And my lesson from that story is extravagant praise in public can cost. Right. So, I'd suggest that each of us should aim at giving God something special, something extravagant this week or this month. Maybe it's a case of fixing a time to spend in prayer and meditation. Aim to take 10 minutes, half an hour, a morning. With the phone switched off, with the kids locked out, nothing to distract us, and concentrate on God. Use whatever helps you to think of God. Music works for some people, but ensure it's music that leads to God thoughts rather than just music that makes you feel good. For others, it's silence that matters, or staring at God's creation, or reading scripture out loud. Whatever works for you. Then start to thank God for all he has done. And let that lead you into telling him how good he is. Are there other things that you can do to pour out your heart to him? Do you speak in tongues? Do you sing? Do you dance before God? Whatever it is, aim to spend some precious time with God. Now, I'm not saying that you need to reward God with 10 minutes of your time. But I am suggesting that concentrating only on God is an appropriate response for what he has done. In the same way as the woman poured out perfume, why not pour out a bit of your time on God, offering it up to him as a token of your love? The perfume was precious to this woman. Probably your time is precious to you. Maybe the message here is for you to be more extravagant, to be more generous the next time God prompts you to do anything. Maybe if you feel like giving a fiver to a charity, think twice. Pause for a minute and think, can I be more generous? Can I be more extravagant and give them a tenner instead? Or if your neighbour asks you for a lift somewhere, be more generous and wait around to bring them back again. And if they ask you, if they thank you for being generous, say something like, I'm just responding to how generous God is to me. There are so many ways that we can be extravagant in our worship of God. Let's be inventive. Spend a bit longer in prayer and singing. Send somebody a gift. Give somebody a big smile the next time you meet them in the street. There may be other things, other ways to worship. This truly might be a time for you which is special in your life. And God wants you to give him something special, something that you've been saving up. In which case, be extravagant, be generous, offer God whatever you think is precious. He loves you so much, and he understands you totally. Give yourself up to him in whatever way seems special. And as a final wrap-up, be aware that for both the woman and for David, these were intimate times. These were emotionally raw times. You could say they were sensual times. They could be misinterpreted. They left a lasting impression. Did David later think to himself, remember the day I danced before the Lord? Did the woman hold on to remnants of that alabaster jar just to remind her of the special time? These things are part of that love relationship between us and God. Building relationship has special events. It's got special days. And looking back on special days can reinforce that relationship. Myra and I have an anniversary this month. In fact, this week. And I haven't forgotten. Celebrating these things can be important. And we'll find some way to celebrate it, even if COVID rules are getting in the way. All through the Bible, there are reminders of how much that God wants that love relationship with you and wants to encourage us to deepen how much we love him. He can't deepen how much he loves us, because that's infinite. You can't get bigger. God loves us infinitely. That's the depth of his love for us, even in the days when we don't feel like it. So, I'm suggesting let us each find a new way to be extravagant when we express our love for God. Thank you.